Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
What you're about to hear is a pretty interesting recording I did with a guy named Rich Chadwick. Now, the reason I called him is when I do these recordings on my audio clip page, to do audio recordings, there's some things you need to understand and a little bit of software you're going to need to learn about. So what we talk about in this is some software called ModemSpy, which is software that you can download off the internet for about $45 and record two ways of the conversation digitally. Then there's some software called GoldWave, which is an audio file editing software, and it's really no big deal. It will take a little bit of a learning curve to get used to it, but hopefully I'm going to cut that learning curve down big time by you listening to this audio clip. This audio clip is a training on how to use GoldWave. It takes you through every single one of the features of GoldWave, what it's used for, how it's used, and how you can manipulate audio files. What I do here on the side is fairly simple. They're just straightforward conversation audio files. Really, there's very little that needs to be done to them except cutting out a little bit of the beginning or cutting out a little bit of the end or piecing in a recording like what I'm doing right now will be pasted into the recording. It's very similar to a word processor. You cut and you paste, but instead of words, you're cutting and pasting audio files, sounds. And I hope you'll enjoy this. You'll want to make sure you get yourself GoldWave. I think you can download a temporary version where you're not paying for anything, so at least you can look at all the buttons in the screen and follow along as you listen to this audio clip. It's an incredible education. It's really helped me understand the system without reading the entire book, and I hope you enjoy it.
Morning.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, how we doing?
Okay, I finally got, kept dialing the wrong number. I kept, you know, one, it sounds, seems like it's one of these mornings.
Not a problem.
All right, just so you know, we're recording. I just need to get your approval on this.
That's fine. You're free to record and use this for your own use to reference back for training on GoldWave.
I appreciate it. Hey, let me ask you a question. Tell me, what is your special? What do you do?
Well, I'd like to think that we do all things multimedia.
Now, is this your own business?
Yes.
Okay.
It's called Media Management. We started it in 1996.
Uh-huh.
Took it from a small 300-square-foot office space out to 10,000 square feet, and then now back to a virtual company.
Wow.
We kind of rode the dot-com wave there.
Okay.
And did a bunch of projects along the way, including a very large streaming media site.
Wow. Which one?
DiscJockey.com.
Is it still up and everything?
No. Unfortunately, the only one that's left is Spinner, which of course got bought up by AOL and Time Warner.
Really? So what happened? The dot-coms were going crazy. Investors were spending tons of money,
exactly.
And they couldn't spend it fast enough, and they paid it all to guys like you.
Correct.
That ain't bad.
Yeah.
Were you charging premium prices?
We actually were trying to do it advertiser supported.
Uh-huh.
And that, of course, is a model that never truly developed.
Now, I mean, when you charge for your services to these dot-coms, you could charge a nice...
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that particular one happened to be one that I got involved in on an equities position. So we all learned lessons, but...
didn't pay the equity, you took stock options, huh?
Correct, yeah.
you didn't pay out, huh?
I actually was one of the few people to actually get a paper certificate, so I do have that going for me.
Yeah, I got some toilet paper, too.
Exactly. But along the way, we did... some fantastic projects, and my origins are in radio and television production.
Right.
Also have a passion for music and for computers, and just to combine those together.
It's great.
A fascinating ride.
Well, we're at the right time. As you know, as more and more people are getting high speed access, it's just all going to play right into that.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, expect to see a bid from us soon on your CD-ROM project that you posted as well.
Okay, great. Looking forward to that.
Something that we are definitely capable of handling. And just to briefly run down the laundry list, we do everything from video editing, audio editing. I have the ability to produce DVDs here, highly interactive DVDs to use for sales and marketing purposes. Same thing on the CD-ROM side with either Director or Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I have tons of male and female voice talent available.
Mm-hmm.
We have obviously a website division to do website creation where we have copywriters on staff.
How many employees do you have?
Overall, there are 19 of us that are working together in the freelance basis.
Okay.
And of those, there are six that pretty much don't do anything else except work with me. And then we bring the others in on an as-needed basis. A ton of great programs that bring voicemail and answering machine capabilities to computers.
Uh-huh.
By simply having your modem loop through, the phone line loop through.
Okay.
And let me see if one of those can be adapted to just do that particular function.
Tell me about your wildfire answer.
Sure. Oh, what a great service.
I've heard of it. I remember when I first heard of it years back. It was very expensive.
It is a bit expensive. I'm paying $111 a month, but included in that, I'm getting 1,000 minutes of long distance.
Okay.
So for as long as I make it a practice to make all of my toll calls through wildfire,
mm-hmm.
then it pays off.
Okay.
Because at $110, $111 a month, it's just a little over 10 cents a minute. It's like getting the service for free.
Okay.
The secret is to, fortunately, the company that's in my area doesn't offer a smaller package than 1,000 minutes. So in order to make it cost effective, I need to use the minutes every month.
What is the, tell me why is it so great? Here is a sample of Wildfire and how it works.
Good morning. I'm Wildfire, and you've reached the office of
Rich Chadwick.
Please say your full name.
Michael Sinoff.
Please say, put my call through or take a message.
Put my call through.
Okay, I'll try to find him for you.
This thing is absolutely incredible. I mean, it sounds like a real person on the other line. Listen to the options available on this wildfire system. I highly recommend it. It's searching for Rich Chadwick. He can program any of his phone numbers into this system, and it will look for him sequentially.
I'm still looking.
The system's probably calling his mobile phone. It's probably calling his office phone. It's probably calling his home phone.
I'm sorry. He can't take your call right now. Would you like to leave a message so I can have him get back to you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. First, I need your area code and phone number. Please enter it using touch tone, followed by the pound key. Leave your message, then hang up or press pound. Go ahead.
Hi, Rich. It's Mike Sinoff here. I'm actually doing a recording for all my listeners on Hard to Find Seminars on what wildfire sounds like, how it works, and some of the options. I'll be placing this into our audio recording that we had done, and this is purely a demonstration. But still, at the same time, I had left you a message earlier. Please get back with me when you get a chance.
Got it. Hang up or press pound to send it. Otherwise, to hear your message, press 1. To be
Hi, Rich. It's Mike Sinoff here. I'm actually doing a recording for all my listeners on Hard to Find Seminars on what wildfire sounds like, how it works, and some of the options. I'll be placing this into our audio recording that we had done, and this is purely a demonstration. But still, at the same time, I had left you a message earlier. Please get back with me when you get a chance.
Hang up or press pound to send it. Otherwise, to hear your message, press 1. To re-record it, press 2. To cancel it, press 3. To mark it urgent, press 4. To send it and compose another, press 5. I'll erase it then. Thanks for calling. Goodbye.
Well, the best part for me, and particularly since becoming quote-unquote virtual again with the company, is that I can program a schedule into Wildfire when I call in. and I can basically tell her where I'm going to be for the day. And I can have a regular schedule, and then I can also change that schedule on the fly. So she, when someone calls in, she will begin, look, if they ask for their call to be put through, if I'm in a mode where I'm taking calls, she knows where I am. She will get me, well, you're calling, she'll place you on hold, and she'll go and find me.
Okay, so you, either she'll find you on your cell phone, or she'll call your home number.
Or mobile, depending on what my schedule says where I am.
Okay.
And most of the time I have it set to mobile.
Okay.
So if I'm at a client location or something and I'm in a place where I can be disturbed, I'll let her call through. And then she'll present the call and say, you know, I have so-and-so on the line. Do you want to take it or take a message?
Mm-hmm.
And then by simply giving verbal commands, she will take care of all of that and take messages. She's has all my contacts. So once I get on the session with her, I can say, Wildfire, and she'll say, so I'll say, call, and she'll say, call who, and then she will recognize my voice, and I can say, you know, Michael Senoff or
mm-hmm.
or whomever, and she will say, at which place,
mm-hmm.
and I'll say, either, you know, work, mobile, home, etc.,
mm-hmm.
and then she will call. And then I can put you on hold and then get somebody else on the line if I want, or
mm-hmm.
if other people are calling through, she'll kind of whisper in my ear that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
I can set it so that I'm only taking important calls and make a list of who I'll take calls from,
mm-hmm.
or set it to away, in which case she'll tell you she's covering the phone for me.
Right.
So it's really...
How long of an outgoing message can one leave on the digital recording?
It is dependent upon your provider and how they have it set up.
Uh-huh.
Now, I happen to be pretty friendly with the provider in my area,
mm-hmm.
and I happen to know how their whole setup is. It's basically just being run on a couple of Pentium PCs,
really.
You know, and they have a phone trunk coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I know they have offered in the past, if I wanted to send them my outgoing message on a disc,
mm-hmm.
in a low quality GSM or WAV file,
mm-hmm.
that they could accept it that way.
Right.
So I haven't even. That's a you know, just your question makes me think of a bunch of different ways to use it.
Right.
Having her handle, you know, dealing with opt-in callbacks or things of that nature would be interesting.
Good. There's another service called Freedom Voicemail out of San Diego,
mm-hmm.
which is very similar for about half the price. Does all
really?
Does all the same things.
Freedom Voicemail?
Freedom Voicemail.
The one thing that I'm disappointed in Wildfire is that they were bought by a company called Orange,
uh-huh.
a telecom company from the UK.
Okay.
And they have pretty much focused all the new feature set, not on individual users, but on PBX users.
Right.
For instance, imagine having the same type of thing as your auto attendant.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll ring a call through to somebody's office, and you'll get her before you get the person. And she'll say, you know, so-and-so is calling on line one. Do you want to take it?
Mm-hmm.
Just
okay.
like having somebody up front, in a reception area. So they have really not adapted to the current features. Like, for instance, it would be great if she could read email to you, or if she would handle faxes. You know, it's kind of limited. And unfortunately, at least in my area, I'm stuck with just the feature set that was out a few years ago.
I see, okay.
The best resource is to go directly to wildfire.com. And
mm-hmm.
Ironically, they happen to be here in my area. They're in Massachusetts, in Waltham, I believe.
Okay.
And or Burlington. And they actually, that's the corporate site. And that's where I tend to find out about the new features that I don't have. So,
but it sounds like an invaluable tool.
Oh, exceptional. And I just recently, the biggest thing, especially for doing collaboration projects, is having her handle the conference calls. For instance, the other day I was on the phone with a client, and we had a particular voice talent they wanted to audition. So we were trying to track the voice talent down. I was on the phone through Wildfire with the client, and the talent called in at the same time. So Wildfire comes in my ear and says, you know, I have Dude Walker on the phone. Shall I have him join your conference? So I go back to my client and say, you know, I've got him. Should we have him join the call? And then I instruct her to do that. And meanwhile, the client can hear all of this as I'm talking with her, and she's referring to people by their name because she asked you to record your name. It just sounds so professional.
Wow.
So it really is. I don't think I've tapped into even half of the features that it comes with.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
See, the other one is Freedom Voicemail.
Freedom Voicemail. They're out of San Diego. And
check that out, because I'm a bit of a gadget junkie.
What is it? Give me one other gadget you use that's invaluable.
I just recently got a Toshiba Pocket PC, and my Palm is on the shelf. I don't use it any longer. I can on my wireless network in my building here, or in some of my client locations, I can get online from it. It has AOL Instant Messenger built in. It has Outlook and Excel and Word. It's just been a very valuable tool to have.
And it's a little handheld thing.
Yeah, full color screen.
How big is it?
It's no bigger than like a Palm 505.
Mm-hmm. And it's, is it wireless?
It has a. It does not have a. It doesn't have a wireless modem built into it. What it has is a Wi-Fi connector, a 802.11 adapter in it. And so if I'm here in my building, I've got obviously everything set up wirelessly so I can go about my business. Or if I'm at a client location or at an internet cafe, I can by setting it to DCHP, I can get onto the net directly from it.
And what did that cost you?
I think it was $520.
And what's the model number?
It is E740.
Okay.
I looked at a lot of devices, and I found that one to be the best. I really believe that Wi-Fi is going to make a huge inroads in the next 2 years.
And what is Wi-Fi, like in a nutshell?
Wi-Fi is basically Ethernet, you know, internet connection and home a LAN connection wirelessly.
Okay.
It operates in the 2.4 gigahertz band.
Okay.
And so, for instance, if I'm in an area serviced by Wi-Fi, I can simply have a Wi-Fi Ethernet card connected to my laptop, and I can wirelessly connect to the net and share resources like printers and files.
Okay, that's interesting.
So a great study of this is in Aspen, Colorado. A gentleman named Jim Selby basically decided to take his internet lines, his DSL lines, and share them with the whole community.
Okay.
So he's put these very powerful repeaters throughout the mountains of Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere in Aspen, you can get onto his internet connection wirelessly.
Wow.
So it's an excellent case. Of course, that's done in a non-commercial fashion.
So you could be carrying your little your Toshiba?
Yeah, pocket PC anywhere in Aspen within a 100 square mile area of Aspen.
And you can, you're like online. Just
I can get online. I can check my mail, instant message somebody. If I have my laptop, the piece that I saw on Tech TV, they showed just somebody sitting in an outdoor cafe with their modem, with their laptop, checking their mail, browsing the net. And, of course, it's good up to 11 millibytes per second.
Mm-hmm.
So it's broadband speed connection in a wireless fashion, a far cry from the cellular dial-ups.
And it'll show you a full web page on it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
No.
Yeah, the neat thing about the Pocket PC being used as a web browser is it pretty much knows if someone has designed a web page so it's very wide, it will sacrifice certain elements of the page in order to make it look proper for you.
So right.
There's a few settings, and of course that'll only get better, because what we're starting to do with some clients is actually we can detect the browser they're using.
Mm-hmm.
So if we see that someone is connecting to a site with a Pocket PC 2002 browser,
mm-hmm.
we know they're coming from a wireless device that has a limit of X amount of pixels across, and we can redirect them to a different version of the home page if they're connecting with that browser.
Wow, that sounds
just like you'd have a different, you know, text-only version if someone was connecting with their cell phone.
Okay. I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interview, please email me at Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. That's Michael@HardToFindSeminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D-S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S.com. Interesting. All right, you got Modem Spy?
Yeah, I got Modem Spy app. Okay. So, yeah, I'm actually right on the main page.
Why don't you explain to me, what is this GoldWave software?
Sure. GoldWave basically allows you to open a single file, whether it's WAV or MP3, at a time, and to make changes to that file in several different ways.
Okay.
The two major ways that you manipulate an existing file are to perform actual surgery, if you will, on the contents of the file.
Okay.
That can include trimming some blank space off the beginning or the end,
mm-hmm.
or let's say you have a conversation that you want to go through and take out the ahs and the ums,
mm-hmm.
and that type of thing. Or
does that all have? Are there tools on this GoWave that allow you to do that automatically? Where it can recognize the wave format of an or an ah, and it can
not in GoldWave.
Okay.
There are more complex programs where you can look for patterns.
Okay.
In things, most of it is still done manually.
Okay.
But with the proper tool, it can be done quite fast.
All right. Well, I've opened up a file in GoldWave, and I'd like to just maybe kind of just look at some of the tools, and you can kind of briefly.
What we have is in that mine pops up two windows. I have the main window, which is where the audio file is, green and red,
mm-hmm.
Signifying the left and right channels.
Okay.
Mine also pops a device control window. That's just the way that it's set up by default.
Yeah, I've got, well, I have just, I believe it was recorded in mono, so I just have
okay,
the
so
green.
Just the green.
Yeah, and I have my device control.
Okay, so obviously the device controls are very similar to a tape transport if we're looking to do a playback or a rewind, fast forward, etc.
Right, right.
There are some other helpful controls that are in the device control area to the right of the transport controls.
Okay.
And they include an overall volume, a left-right balance, and in the bottom one is pretty interesting, that's the speed.
Now, is this speed as I'm is it a tool as I'm going through the audio?
Exactly.
It won't save it as a faster speed, will it?
There is another tool for that that's up in the toolbar called Time Warp. And that's where we would actually do that.
Okay, but so these are just for me, like I'm playing a file right now, and I can control my volume.
Yes.
And then I can
change your balance or change your speed. For instance, if I want to zip through something.
Right.
That's basically, you can use that device control as a shuttle.
Gotcha.
There are other tools, like, for instance, I'm going to make some comparisons to a program called Vegas Audio,
uh-huh.
which I consider to be the Cadillac of audio editing tools.
Vegas Audio.
Vegas Audio.
For PC?
From Sonic Foundry.
So where would someone download that?
SonicFoundry.com. You can obtain a trial version of the program.
Uh-huh, free.
Yes,
and
I think it's the limitation is either 30 days or it puts a beep tone in or anything you render out, something like that. There's some limitation to
okay,
it.
Okay, but it's pretty good.
If I was to find an exact type of program like GoldWave, but made by Sonic Foundry, that program would be SoundForge.
Okay.
The difference between programs like GoldWave, SoundForge, and CoolEdit Pro, and programs like Pro Tools or Vegas Audio, is whether you have a need for multiple tracks at once.
Uh-huh, and that's if you're doing music and stuff.
Correct. So, for instance, we do books on tape.
Right.
So we need one track for the narrator, and then we also need another track to add in the music at the beginning of each chapter or add in sound effects as appropriate.
Okay.
So in that case, we need a multi-track editor where I can physically look across a timeline like you're looking at that green file now, except I can see multiple files and I can slide them along a timeline. I can set the volume and the panning for each one individually,
mm-hmm.
etc. In the case of Vegas, we have Vegas Video here. I can also add tracks that contain video content.
I see. So, and then the finished product is all the tracks at once.
Exactly. Rendered out as an AVI or as an MP3 or whatever you like.
Uh-huh.
For programs like GoldWave, CoolEdit Pro, which I don't care for, and SoundForge, they are basically, you are working with existing content that just simply needs to be modified in some fashion, but not mixed with another file.
Okay, so for what I'm doing, I'm just recording audio like this, mono, nothing.
You want to clean it up, you want to trim it, you know, trim the head and the tail of it, take out ahs and ums, maybe apply, you know, a little bit of compression onto it or some sort of equalization. This type of tool is perfect for that.
Okay. All right, so let's talk. So we got the device controls that speed it up, control the sound as I'm working with the file. It's a tool for that only.
Exactly.
It's not going to control the outcome of the file.
Correct.
Okay.
So I want to talk about the files, that the controls, that the tools that actually allow you to do surgery on the files first.
Okay, so that's going to be in my toolbar.
Right, so if you take a look at your file, no doubt there's probably a second or two or maybe even more at the beginning that you'd like to eliminate.
Yeah.
In order to clean up that so it starts right from the beginning.
Right.
And that's a rather simple function to do. What we can do is go ahead and if you click, if you bring your mouse across the file,
mm-hmm.
it would look like a solid line with two arrows pointing left or right.
Yeah, got it.
So if you were to take that and then to simply click it at the point where you feel you need to eliminate what's there.
Yeah.
It should blacken some portion.
Blacken it, and then you just delete it.
Correct.
Okay. What's the difference between delete and trim?
Okay, good question. When you are deleting, you are taking out the highlighted portion. When you trim, you are taking out everything but the highlighted portion.
Oh. All right, wait. Let me try to get that straight. When I click and I have the darkened portion,
right.
When I delete the darkened portion.
When you delete, you are deleting the highlighted portion. When you trim, it's the opposite way.
Oh, are you sure? Wait, is that right? Let me think. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
The blue portion.
Yes. When I delete, I take out the highlighted.
Blue portion. Right. The shaded. Picture the black or shaded area to be the safe zone, if you will, when you perform.
That's right. So when I delete, the shaded area stays there.
Exactly.
When I trim, I'm taking out the shaded.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if we are, let's say we are taking out the heads and the tails. If you just highlight the blank section, that would be a delete function. If you highlight the part you want to keep, then that's a trim function.
And they have both those tools, so it gives you...
Exactly. Here's another great reason why we would want to use delete if we were taking out an or an ah.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the timeline and then in your speech, you isolate the portion that you want to take out.
Mm-hmm.
By hitting delete, it does what's called a snap at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing two functions. It's going to actually delete that portion of the audio,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to marry the two split sections back together again.
That's correct.
So there'll be no blank in between.
Right.
And you can move on.
And it puts it right there.
Correct. And that's one of the quickest ways to go through and to delete those points.
Well, that's exactly what I've been doing. Here's one of the challenges is controlling the view, okay?
Yep.
So how do you, if I want to get up close to a hum or a ha,
yep.
what I've been doing is zooming 1 to 1,000.
Yep.
Okay? But then even when I want to zoom in more, like if I went, okay, let's say I zoom 1 to 1,000, then I zoom 1 to 10.
Yes.
Well, that brings it up pretty close, too.
Yeah, I like the 100 myself. And it, of course, see, it depends on the length of your file, too.
Yeah. Oh, some of these files, let's say it's an hour file.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I would say on an hour file, perhaps 1 to 10 or 1 to 100 would be the two I would look at.
Is it zooming in 1? Okay, if it's an hour file and I click 1 to 1,000, is it zooming up 1,000 times?
It's based on the entire file is what it should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's relative to where you were. So, for instance, if I'm at 1 to 1,000 and then I do 1 to 1,000 again, it's my understanding that it should move it in again, but I'm not seeing that that's happening.
Yeah.
If I do, the quickest way would be to just keep doing like a zoom in or a zoom out, and then you can go through each one. And the shortcut key for that is shift up or shift down.
Oh, okay. The shortcut key is shift up?
Yeah. So
shift page up?
Nope, just the up arrow.
Oh.
You can get the gradient set however you want.
So
I like to use my right hand. I use my pointer finger on the shift and then my middle or fourth finger on the up and down arrow. And then I can go in and out, and it's a little better gradient.
Actually, what it's doing for me is moving it left to right.
Well, maybe depending on the size, you should notice the scale changing at the
bottom. Right. You're right. That is what it's doing. Gotcha.
And, of course, you know the panel at the very bottom, the gray area with the stripes, is basically giving you a snapshot of where you are in the entire production.
The gray area. Okay, below, so below. The gray area I see is what I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's below the timeline.
Yeah, in the black, what would the black area represent?
The black area is what you're viewing.
Okay.
And the gray area is the entire production.
Okay.
So, for instance, I'm zoomed in about as far as you can go before it starts to turn into a sine wave.
and
I can start dragging it about, and I know exactly where I am in the production. Of course, the timeline helps with that, too.
So as I get closer and closer, that's when I see, like, a line going across.
Exactly.
I got you.
So I'm in a spot where I've got just about a second's worth up on the screen.
Gotcha.
So if I then start to highlight those,
mm-hmm.
I can start doing my deletes, and of course delete can also be accomplished.
Okay, let's look at these tools, copy to, cut, I know what cut is.
Right.
I know what copy is. What's copy to?
Copy to is basically you can take whatever's selected and you can save that as an individual file.
Okay, so I would, let's say I cut a portion, a minute of the file, and I press copy to, it's going to save just that individual portion.
Exactly, and that's going to bring that up, it's going to bring up a save as dialog.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, for instance, by default it goes to wave, and then, you know, what type of attribute you want with it, and that'll save just that piece. That can be helpful if you're looking to lift out sound clips from a larger production.
Well, actually, what I did, I just cut a portion, and then the copy to box disappears. It doesn't allow me to do anything.
Right, because the selection is gone now. You don't actually need to do the cut. You're looking just to take, you want to take that piece out or save it as a separate or both?
Well, I was just trying to see what this copy to function.
Okay, so just highlight a piece, a couple of seconds worth.
Uh-huh.
And the blue portion, when you hit copy to, the blue portion is now going to be extracted as a separate audio file.
Oh, I got you.
But it's still going to be there.
Okay, I'm with you.
So if you, let's say you want to do, make it a separate file and then get rid of it. That'd be a two-step operation.
Yeah.
You'd want to do the copy to and save it.
Gotcha.
And then you're going to do the cut.
Okay. What are some ways to use that? Why do people use
that? Well, for instance, let's say if I have voice talent come in and they record for me five different phrases that need to be used in a production.
Okay.
They might give me three versions of each one.
Okay.
So I open up my big file that I got from the voice talent, and I see 15 blurbs across the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I'll listen to them all, I'll find the ones I like, highlight them, and then do a copy to and save them as the individual ones that I actually want.
And then you can choose which is the best one.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then I've got my individual elements that I can bring into something like Vegas or other multi-track program, and then I can drag them and drop them on the screen.
Okay. What about paste to new?
Paste in new.
Well, what is paste?
Paste is when you put it back. Right.
Okay.
If I paste something new, okay, paste just puts it back
right
where the cursor is.
Mm-hmm.
Paste new actually creates a new wave of just whatever was in the selection. So
gotcha. Same thing as copy to, but paste new.
Exactly, but it pastes it. And then mix is really interesting. I highlight it, and then I do mix, and then it's going to bring that piece back in the section where it's highlighted. So it's going to take the new section and put it back in. So, like, let's say I wanted to delete it somewhere and then I wanted to put it back in someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I can do with mix.
You're losing me. Give me an example. Let's say
somebody was reading the numbers 1 through 10.
Okay.
You had 10 blurbs on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I wanted to put 3 between 7 and 8. I would go in and I would highlight 3,
mm-hmm.
and then I would do a cut,
mm-hmm.
and then I could put it, I could drop my cursor between 7 and 8, and I could either do a paste,
mm-hmm.
drop it in there,
mm-hmm.
or let's say we're dealing with music,
mm-hmm.
Where we want to be a little more subtle than just cutting with a razor blade,
mm-hmm.
so to speak. By using mix, it drops it in, but it does, it kind of fades into it and then back out of it into the original.
Oh, so it doesn't, it's not a
overlap.
Okay, so it gives it a softness on the beginning and end.
Exactly, because sometimes just doing, like, and I liken it to the razor blade cut because that's what we used to do in the studio.
Okay.
Sometimes the razor blade is too
coarse. Too abrupt, right.
Exactly.
Right.
So by doing the mix, it allows us to kind of...
I'm with you. So what I've been doing on my audio clip files, I have a little clip that I put in the middle of the file, like an hour-long file that says, I want to thank you for listening, blah, 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 blah. and I've just been pacing it in. Maybe I should try mixing it in. It'll be a little.
And then try varying degrees of mix, and of course that'll all, you know, that'll be format, that'll be content dependent.
Right. So I see a little box that popped up on the mix, and it's green.
Yes, it has a slider there. Exactly.
Now, what does that represent?
That's basically the amount of mix or the volume level for the overlap.
Okay.
So that would be, this is actually easier. If you had two songs,
mm-hmm.
It's easier to demonstrate. Or like if you, for instance, take a piece of a song and then copy it to the clipboard. I'm just going to set myself so I'm following along. And then I could take it and I could say mix. And I'm going to choose, I'm going to take the recommended 100 where it's at, basically.
Okay.
And I'm going to pop that in.
How do I know what it's comparing? Like, what is the automatic volume of that?
Relative to what the volume is of everything else.
So when it comes up with a suggestion, it's probably going to be about...
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I got you.
But the nice thing about doing it non-destructively... Okay, there it is. The nice thing about non-destructive editing is that if you don't like it, you can undo it.
Right.
Go back and do it.
Okay, that's a nice little tool. Thanks for that.
Yep.
Trim.
Yep, delete and trim.
That's right, we talked about that.
Yep, channel toggle is only if you are dealing with a stereo file.
Okay.
It'll swap channels.
Now, okay, what about view?
View is...
I believe it's like a select all.
Right. Its select view allows you to basically what I use it for is it brings me back out to the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always. Well, no, I can't say that's true because when I come out,
you have to go view all. And
well,
then
what I do for view all is I just do Control A.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big believer in the keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah.
And I know they're a pain in the butt to learn.
I know. Okay, Control A will give me a view all.
Control A, yes.
Gotcha.
And I find that to be the most helpful. Actually, Shift A.
Shift.
You're using a PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shift A.
Shift A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
And that'll open it up, and like for instance, now I see my whole three minutes and 20 seconds.
Okay.
The bottom line.
How about these little magnifying glasses, the 1:1? Do you have that?
Yes, those are the presets for view. But for instance, if I hit cell as the shows a selection, zoom 1:1 is as furthest in as you can go. So chances are when you hit that, you're actually looking at thousands of a second along the bottom.
Yeah, that's because, okay, so when I go 1:1, it brings me right up as this very close, right?
Exactly.
Why would anyone do that?
If you need to get so far in that you need to look at the actual frame level of something,
mm-hmm.
if there's, let's say you were editing, you had recorded a old 45 or an album into the computer.
Okay.
And you needed to go in and pull out ticks and pops.
Okay.
If you felt like there are tools to do it now, but if you wanted to do it by hand, you would need to get down almost to what we would, in video, we'd call it the frame level.
Uh-huh.
In audio, it's the sample level.
Right.
To actually go in and extract the smallest.
I want to thank you for listening. This is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. If you want to get in touch with any of the people we interview, please email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. That's michael@hardtofindseminars.com. H-A-R-D as in dog, T-O-F-I-N-D-S-E-M-I-N-A-R-S.com.
Unit possible of sound.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's done simply by remote. Like, for instance, if we had a record that had like a tick or a pop, by going down to that lowest level, you could actually see the spike.
Yeah.
And pull it out.
Yeah.
And then because we've only taken out what is necessary, it's virtually undetectable.
Gotcha. Okay. How about user with the little smiley face?
User is something that you can set. So if you have a certain, magnification that you like,
mm-hmm.
You can go in and set that. Let me just look at where.
See how to do that, user. What it looks like, it's bring, and maybe it's an automatic set as that 1:1 is.
I know there's a way to do it. Let me just refer.
Okay. Hey, this is just great. getting it all spoon-fed to me.
Yeah, no, not a problem. I mean, and it's such a valuable tool that it's wise to.
I may want to put the if you don't mind. I mean, I think this is such great stuff. If you want a plug for your business, and you don't mind if this comes out as a good audio, I can edit some of the stuff out, and we can put it up on the site for people to listen to. On
that'd be fantastic.
Okay, great. I think people could benefit from it a lot.
Sure. Let's see here. I am for where we define that. I'm just going to refer to the help file for that one.
Okay. You know, we can move on. Now that I know what it is, I'll figure it out.
Okay.
Let's go to that bottom. Yeah, let's go to
the bottom row. This is the fun row.
The Dupler. I'm at the Dupler.
Yep. You can provide any kind of effects here. Probably more than would go beyond the scope of just spoken words.
Okay.
But sometimes they're nice to know, so you can have them for.
Why is it called? Is it Doppler or Dupler?
Doppler. Yeah.
Doppler.
It's Doppler, and this provides a. A lot of these effects are better to listen to rather than to try to explain.
Okay.
It's a combination of pitch and delay changes.
Okay.
So I'm going to just bring my volume up here.
And what it does is it does it on the entire file, right?
It does it on the selection.
Oh, on whatever. Okay, so I had the whole thing highlighted. Gotcha.
Right. So if you're looking.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice when you play it back, let me just stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice when you play it back, it's selected one channel over the other, and it's basically shifted the time.
Yeah.
So the old thing of, hello, that type of thing.
Right.
Provides that type of effect.
Right. Let me ask you this. On the device controls, I wonder if there's a quick way. Oh, it looks like that Doppler slowed everything down. That's. Oh, no, it didn't.
You took one channel and it expanded it out a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, it did do something. All right.
By the way, under device control, if you want to go back to the default on any one of those.
That's it. Yes, that was my.
Simply double-click on the icon. Like, for instance, if the speed has been changed.
Beautiful.
The clock one.
There you go. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah, and that'll bring you right back to default.
Gotcha.
The next one is dynamics. Dynamics and compression are two things that are used extensively in audio production.
Okay.
When you modify the dynamics of something, for instance, a pre-bought cassette of a musical work versus a compact disc of a classical work will have very different dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
The telephone has extremely different dynamics than that of a CD or that of actually a person standing in the woods having a conversation.
Okay.
The dynamics basically involve how low the lowest low is and how high the highest high is volume-wise, amplitude.
Okay.
So, for instance, when music is played on the radio, they all but remove all of the dynamic range of it. So it has a very different sound to it than if you're listening to the CD.
Okay.
What happens is that algorithms are applied to it to take the lowest volume and raise it to what's called a lower threshold. And then anything that exceeds a certain level is then what's called a limit or compress is applied to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, as you look at your green wave and gold wave, you see that the spikes go from fairly narrow in low passages to pretty high as they branch out. If you apply a compression, which is basically what this is, to it, it will take out some of the dynamics, and it will cause the wave to appear to be much smoother or narrower. There will be no deviation in the volume.
Right. Hey, wait. Let me. I want to back up just for a second. I apologize. I screwed something up on the Doppler because when I click on it, I had clicked bass, and then no matter what file I pulled up, it had it all slowed down, even when I pulled up a new one.
Oh, I got you. There should be a way to.
It has preset shapes, but I don't remember what it was originally on.
On the Doppler, there should be a. Let's see. When I bring mine up. it basically, a pitch bend down is the first one that comes up.
Mine, I remember when I saw it, it was just straight across, and then...
Right, yeah, if you do bass voice, is that one available?
I have bass, but that's the one I changed it to. It lowered it.
Okay, try, with bass voice, there's three buttons next to it. There's a plus and a minus.
Yeah, plus, minus, and...
Where's the yellow one?
The yellow?
Yeah.
Gotcha, that's what it was. What does that yellow button mean?
It basically brings it back to the default.
But yeah. What it was doing is it not only changed that original file, when I pulled up any of them, it played it at that pitch.
It was still being applied to it.
Right? Yeah.
There is, and I'm not 100% familiar with it in Gold Wave, but I am in Vegas and in SoundForge. Basically, when you add effects, you are adding a chain of effects.
Uh-huh.
For instance, if I want to add Doppler, and then I want to add some equalization, and then I want to do a time pitch, everything will be run through those chain of effects in that order.
Okay.
So we need to remove those effects from the chain, otherwise they will affect everything going forward.
Yeah.
And I am not familiar with how that is done in Gold Wave, but I'm taking a look right now.
Yeah.
It's actually done visually in SoundForge.
Mm-hmm.
For you to actually see what order the effects are in, because depending on what order you apply the effects, they can have a different outcoming sound.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Okay, I think I just figured it out. Okay, sorry about that. I'll hopefully figure that out. You were talking about...
I got mine away, just by doing an undo. But, of course, that needs to be done right away.
right.
For it to be helpful.
Okay, we were talking about the... what was the dynamics?
Yes. So by applying or changing the dynamics,
mm-hmm.
you can end up with more compression or actually adding dynamics to something. For instance, if you have something that has a very flat sound to it, and that's really the best word I can use to describe
okay.
it.
Yeah.
By adding dynamics in a positive direction, it will cause the highest, loudest passages to be slightly louder, the lowest passages to be slightly lower.
Okay.
By applying things in a negative fashion,
mm-hmm.
you're actually applying compression,
mm-hmm.
and you're basically closing that upper and lower window.
Yes.
Where the volume can peak or not peak.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, I've got that.
And that can be applied in various...
And you just move the... you can move these little lines. There's two points at which you can move them.
Right. Notice you're dealing with two axes.
Yeah, tell me about that.
You've got on one coordinate, it is the amplitude, and on the other you're dealing with the... I forget the word they use for it, but you're changing the amount. And one is how much it's applied over time, and then the other is the attack time of it.
All right. So do you move them both at the same?
I prefer to stay. When I'm using this tool, I pretend there's an imaginary line that goes from plus one in the upper left to the plus one in the lower right, and mm-hmm. I tend to simply move along that axis.
Okay.
When applying.
Okay, but I can play around with it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. What's the echo? Oh, echo. Okay.
Echo, basically, it's an echo effect. There are two things involved. There's a volume. In this case, what they were referring to is volume. When you click on this delay,
mm-hmm.
which is the amount of time before it plays it the second time.
All right.
The volume is the... there are two terms that are used in audio effects. There's dry and wet.
Mm-hmm.
Although they're not used in this particular program, at least not on this effect, dry basically refers to the original untouched signal.
Mm-hmm.
And wet refers to just the effect.
Okay.
So by adjusting the volume, you are in effect deciding how much dry and how much wet you want to apply.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to, for instance, to put a reverb effect on something and you were listening to 100% wet,
mm-hmm.
you would only hear just the reverb with none of the original source material.
Okay.
So by adjusting the volume, you're basically telling it how much wet to mix in.
How much in addition to what's already there.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And that's a fairly common effect when you go back and listen to it.
Okay. How about exchange?
Okay, Exchange basically takes the selection, and it will move just the selection and change the left and right channels.
Okay, am I going to need that for my mono stuff?
Probably not.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go to flange.
Okay, flange gives the type of effect as if you're in some sort of wind tunnel or time tunnel type thing. Flange is a phasing effect that sometimes gives the sound of talking through a paper towel roll.
Right, so why do people use that? For music?
It's usually used in music to change the sound of certain instruments.
Okay, I'm not going
to
use that.
That's something that you want to apply to a voice unless you're looking to make something like someone sound like a space person. Or
okay, okay, yeah. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. All right, how about this
mechanized? Mechanize applies kind of a metallic kind of electronic sound to music.
I gotcha.
And again, a lot of these have to do with what you'd want to have for music.
Yep, okay.
It gives it kind of a stilted kind
like that obbligato, misto, rubato.
Exactly, that type of thing.
Okay,
exactly.
You know what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
From
yep.
from Queen, okay.
Stop my sample here.
Okay, offset.
Offset is basically a similar version of changing the tracking time of one channel versus the other. So you can have an offset between
two tracks.
Like a slight delay, right.
Okay, gotcha. All right, and this next one, pitch.
Pitch is basically exactly what it says. It changes the pitch of the time. Now, let's talk about the concept of time stretch and compression and companding of time. There are two factors that you change. The first is when you change the pitch of something, you are changing the speed at which it plays back, but you're also changing the note that it plays.
Okay.
So, for instance, if I'm talking in my voice and all of a sudden I change the pitch of it, what I'm really doing is I'm talking higher, but I'm still talking at the same rate.
Yeah.
Or I'm talking lower, but still talking at the same rate.
When you're talking higher, are you compressing it?
Electronically, that's what's happening. Is it's basically it's taking it like it's playing it on a keyboard and playing it higher.
Okay.
Compressing it time-wise is what happens when you just change the speed.
Okay.
For instance, if on the Chipmunks, on the Chipmunk songs, they're singing at the same speed, but they're at a higher pitch.
Okay.
The pitch has been changed, but the speed has been preserved.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at scale,
yeah,
semitone, and
right, fine tune. These are basically three fine tuning. Scale is the is basically the roughest, coarsest way to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into semitone and fine tune, then you're making really small pitch changes.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that would be more applied to music or trying to change somebody's singing voice to match a piano.
Okay.
Something along those lines. Now, preserve length is the option where you basically are changing, even though you're changing the pitch, you want it to still take the same amount of time to play.
Okay.
Gold Wave is not very good at doing this and not being noticeable.
Okay.
There are better programs for doing that type of thing. For instance, a radio commercial, a 30 or a 60, as we know them, they really need to be 29.5 or 59.5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody produces a fantastic commercial, but it comes out at 1 minute and 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
They really, before, they would have to go and try to trim 2 seconds, or they would have to play it faster, in which case you would notice it, because
mm-hmm.
now all of a sudden everyone's voice and the music has gone up by 2% or
right.
whatever. Now we have tools that allow you to change the length of something but preserve the pitch.
Gotcha. And that's what, so you would click preserve length.
Right. And then there are settings there for the size. Now, I'm not familiar with what they're looking to do here with this FFT.
Okay, that's okay.
If you click on help, you will see under preserve length, it has a pretty good explanation.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
The FFT size should be set from 9 to 11 and the overlap 88.
Mm-hmm.
This is specific terminology that's being used used by this manufacturer that doesn't necessarily apply to its musical counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of computer terms as opposed to someone saying, you know, saying, do you want to preserve the length in seconds?
Or okay, but the point is it'll shorten something without changing the sound.
Correct.
And without making it.
The biggest example I can give of that is producers of commercials that need to have things time out to a certain length. Or let's say I've got a narration that lasts exactly 24 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and I want the music to end cold underneath it, but my musical piece is 28.
Okay.
I can apply a time shift or time stretch or compending to that musical piece so it matches the length. I can either expand the voice,
mm-hmm.
or I can contract or unstretch the music so they match.
Okay. Now here's
this. These are all new modern techniques that sometimes get abused. The example that's running now is Howard Stern has a sponsor called Giant Glass that plays here in the New England area.
Yeah.
And, you know, the commercial has what's called a donut in the middle. There's 20 seconds for you to talk over the instrumental where there's nobody singing.
Okay.
And he probably spoke for about 30 seconds and didn't want to do it again.
Uh-huh.
So somebody had to go back and, geez, you know, there's no way that he's talking that fast. You know?
Right.
What it basically does is it's taking out all of the pauses and breaths in between.
Gotcha.
And also anything that, if I speak and there's several samples that look the same next to each other, it randomly pulls a few out.
Okay.
And so I'm saying the same thing, but in a quicker amount of time.
Okay, gotcha.
It can cause listener fatigue if it's done too much.
Okay. Reverse will reverse the sound.
Reverse will take the selection and we'll play it in reverse. The same thing as like running a tape backwards,
mm-hmm.
or spinning a record backwards.
And they use that in music and stuff?
It can be used in music, or if you wanted to come up with some crazy effect to get people's attention,
mm-hmm.
When you're doing... you know, perhaps something with, you know, with. I'm trying to apply everything here to spoken words that you're doing.
That's okay. Okay, as an attention-getting device, I'm with you. All right, and then next to it is the silence, which whatever you have highlight will silence it?
Right, it will insert a piece of silence. I believe it either, let me see if, I think it either inserts or replaces with silence.
Mm-hmm.
No, it will, yeah, it takes the selection and replaces with silence.
Okay, replaces. So you could do that in the beginning and end,
yeah,
rather than...
Yeah, what people do is, let's say you didn't want to interrupt the natural flow of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
somebody coughed,
mm-hmm.
you could just cover it over with silence.
Good, good.
Rather than to have to go in and do surgery on it, which might sound unnatural.
Okay, time warp.
Time warp is simply the tool that we have been speaking about when we talked about pitch,
mm-hmm.
except without doing a pitch. For instance, I have time warp, I can set the new speed or length of something based on the speed is a relative thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to increase something by 50% speed, I would tell it to make it 0.5 of its original.
Okay.
The playback speed, it would be 1.5, play it back 1.5 times
right.
what it was, or play it back at 0.5 would double it.
Gotcha.
If it's time, I can say what I want the time to be of that. For instance, I've highlighted a segment that's 1:14 long.
Mm-hmm.
It's giving me a choice to go and make that anywhere from 40 seconds to 220.
Mm-hmm.
By doubling it or halving it.
Okay, I
see. You can experiment with that.
I see.
Less is better with that type of thing. I would use it to nudge a little bit, say a few seconds here and there,
mm-hmm.
but it can create listener fatigue if you use it too much.
Okay. All right, and change.
Yes. Okay. Change basically is, these are all related to the volume. Okay, so change is applying a broad-based change to the volume across the entire
the whole audio,
entire selection.
Okay,
and this is a percentage, so it's obviously at 100 by default. You can slide the volume up and down individually, or use the pull-down presets to decrease it to zero, or increase the volume to 5 times what it is now.
Gotcha.
That is applied there. Now, fade in and fade out are two tools that are pretty similar and are used for the same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I wanted to impose a fade on something. I had a music bed that was 2 minutes long, and at 1 minute I just wanted it to go from full volume down to zero.
Okay.
You would use fade in and fade out by selecting where you want the fade in or fade out to begin,
mm-hmm.
and through where you want it to terminate.
Okay.
And it will automatically do that for you over the length of that selection.
So it says initial volume percentage, and let's say it's at zero.
Right, so that's a fade in.
Okay, that's the fade in.
Right, exactly.
So okay.
So a fade in doesn't necessarily have to start from zero, but most of the time it would.
Now, how do we know what my standard volume is already?
It's all relative to...
Okay, it's going to be relative. Gotcha.
Wherever it is.
Gotcha, okay. And fade out's the same, and then we've got maximize.
That's right. Now, maximize is something you can visually see. This is basically what sometimes when people are ripping CDs, it's called normalize or leveler. What maximize does is it will take a passage of volume, and it will increase it as far as it can without clipping it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like a no-brainer compressor, just a one-button compressor.
Okay.
If you want to go ahead and highlight a portion and then do maximizer, you'll see the new maximum, so you can set a new threshold, one being where it is now. So you can maximize it two times or by one-half.
Mm-hmm.
And RMS is the average level, so you can change just the average level of the presentation.
Okay.
So there are two different ways to do that. So I'm going to say my new maximum is 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I watch what happens, say okay. And then if you look at what happens to the waveform, you'll see that it expanded out.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's an overall volume increase, but it does it in such a way, like if I just say change the volume by 200%, that's not going to be cautious of the subtleties of my program. It's just going to blatantly turn the volume up.
Okay.
And if certain parts of it go over and start clipping, it's not going to care. Maximize will bring it as high as it can without clipping.
Okay, great. Okay.
That's going to be very helpful with spoken word material.
Yeah. Shape.
Shape volume. Okay, this is one that it allows you to. It's actually best explained if we just go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've chosen a selection, and I'm going to do express fade in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and see how when it comes, see how it draws that visual. I'm able to actually adjust the shape of the volume across the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So for
across the entire section.
Mm-hmm. Across the selection.
Mm-hmm.
So if I, you know, if I want to do the whole thing, I would do my shift A, and then I would go in, and then I would do my change, and I'll see my entire production, and then. By design, it's at 100%.
Mm-hmm.
I can just start putting as many points as I want on this line and dip it. These are sometimes called, in the digital editing business, called rubber bands.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you start to make points and move them up and down, they have kind of a rubber band effect on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about the rubber bands is that in this program, you have to apply them on this screen and rely solely on time code in order to apply them. In SoundForge and in the Sonic Foundry products, this rubber band is actually applied across the waveform. So on the same screen, you can be looking at your waveform and be making your volume adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do them in real time. The problem with some of Goldwave's features is that you cannot preview them in real time. You have to render them first and then play them back.
Okay.
So that's another distinction. If I'm doing an 8-hour editing session, taking out different things and changing volumes and applying effects, I want something that I can do it in real time so I actually can hear it as I make adjustments to it.
Okay.
As opposed to having to wait for it to render it and then play it back.
So how is that really different, you know, if you do a fade-in effect or a fade-out from the fade-in?
Those are predefined curves that happen over...
And these you can customize.
Right. So if I wanted to shape the volume over the course of the whole thing, I can make my own type curve. And they give you some preset shapes.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that slow fade in, you've got the fade out, and you can take a look. If you take a look at them, some of them happen in a different way. The Doppler one is kind of shaped like a wave, so the volume comes up and around and then out. So it's kind of like a siren from a police car coming by.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the different ones, and of course, by using the blank one, you can make your own.
Gotcha. Okay.
And the yellow line represents the volume over time.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to noise gate.
Yep, the next six actually have to do with equalization and filtering.
Is it? Okay.
When you apply a noise gate to something, basically you are going to set the threshold and that things will go on. If you see this attack release threshold, and anticipation is something that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with threshold. What threshold will say is that anything below the volume that you set there, that this program is going to turn the volume down to zero, in effect shutting the noise gate. So if you and I are having a conversation, and in between our words you can hear an air conditioner in the background,
yes.
What basically the noise gate will do is, in between our words, it will quickly turn the volume down to zero and then turn it back up again just before we're about to speak.
Wow. And so if I highlighted my entire file,
right?
Then how would I do that? Set that for like an air. Would I highlight just the air conditioning part?
No, you would highlight the whole thing, and then what you're going to manipulate is the threshold.
Okay.
And threshold is basically the level at which the noise gate should click on.
Okay.
Picture a noise gate to be similar to like
air conditioner.
A flapper on a water pipe.
Okay.
The flapper stays closed until water comes through with enough velocity to open it up.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and when it's open, that's when you can hear the sound on the original track. When it closes, nothing but silence is getting through.
Okay, that's an interesting
now,
tool.
Now, much like the way water flows through a pipe, you can adjust the attack and release time, because this gate doesn't necessarily have to be just open or closed. This gate can be in various states of open and close, and how quickly it opens or closes depends on the attack and release time.
Okay.
Noise gate can be a very noticeable effect if it's over-applied.
Okay.
It would give like a clipping effect like on a old-fashioned cell call where only one person could be heard at once, or picture an old-fashioned speakerphone with a duplex where only one party can be heard.
Okay.
That can have a noise gate can have a similar type of effect, and it can actually be more distracting rather than helpful.
Okay.
So it should be applied liberally.
Okay, play around with it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And so then we got noise gate reduction.
Noise reduction, right. Now, what they try to picture there with the little rainbow is they're showing, you know, this, they've got this waveform, and then they've got basically, they're showing that, you know, this noise is in the back, and it can remove it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a look, if you click on noise reduction, it'll show you your waveform, and then it says presets that has like hiss removal or reducing a hum.
Mm-hmm.
So it can basically, it can take out certain frequencies that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I select reduce hum, notice that like from it starts pulling things out below 100 hertz.
Yeah.
And as it gets closer up to 20,000 hertz, it doesn't take out anything.
Right.
Okay. So this is the amount of reduction. Like for instance, where it says minus 40, that's how much noise reduction it's applying at those frequencies.
Okay.
Now, as a helpful guide, it shows in the red and green, it shows where your actual file is, where the frequencies in your file are represented. If you somehow recorded a file and it had a nasty hum in the background, like an electrical hum, you would see that present on the screen, and then you could make your yellow shape around that hum.
Okay.
Or that hiss. In my particular file, after about 12 or 15,000, there's nothing there because it's an MP3.
Okay.
But if you had like a nasty hissing sound in the background, you could cap that.
Okay.
Now, just to relate this to the file that we're cleaning up for you,
right,
where sometimes we have that clipping sound, one way to combat clipping sound is to use a tool like noise reduction to go in and say, okay, this is a phone conversation. Anything over 5,000 kilohertz is not usable anyway.
Right.
So we'll do, and this is another terminology for equalization, we'll roll off all frequencies above 5,000.
Right, right.
And in doing that, we will get rid of some of that unnatural artifact.
Okay, and hopefully that's what will clean some
of the things we're going to apply.
Okay.
Another way to do that that is what's called a high or low pass filter.
Okay.
A high pass filter and a low pass filter, they basically just pick a set frequency, and anything below that or above that, they either roll off or let pass through.
All right. Is that an option on the noise reduction?
It's actually the next one. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's the next one. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. Band pass stop filter?
Band pass stop filter works the same way.
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Actually, okay, low and high pass
yeah,
filter.
The next one is the lowest one, right. See how it has a cutoff frequency?
Yeah.
That's basically the frequency that we're going to work with, and you can only pick one at a time.
Uh-huh.
So let's say I set it for 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
If I make this a low pass filter, it will let everything that's below that frequency pass through.
Mm-hmm.
If I set this as a high pass filter, everything above that frequency will pass through.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's move on.
And that can be used in the similar fashion that we were just talking about, where you will roll off certain frequencies.
Okay.
When you're doing a band pass or stop filter, it's similar, except it allows you to have a frequency range. For instance, if you look at the initial frequency range under band pass stop,
mm-hmm.
it shows you a frequency range from and to that you can set. For instance, this is basically set right now to allow only frequencies from 1,000 to 2,000 K to pass through.
Okay.
And as a band pass, the terminology, again, it allows those frequencies to pass.
Mm-hmm.
If we set it for band stop, it would notch those out. And that's another term that's used, is a notch filter.
Okay.
And picture the frequencies as they go along, notching it out like you would a piece of wood.
Okay. All right, interesting.
Equalizer is probably the easiest one to understand because it resembles what everybody has in their home stereo.
Exactly. Okay.
And, again, my best advice is use only what you need.
Yeah.
There's two schools of thought when it comes to how to equalize something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll reduce it down to basic bass and treble.
Mm-hmm.
The way to increase the treble, there's two ways you can do it. You can either turn the treble up
mm-hmm.
or you can turn the bass down.
That's true.
And the school of thought is that more is less.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So always try the way that it requires less manipulation of the sound first, as opposed to wanting to apply more effect.
Okay, good advice.
That's the best advice I can give you when manipulating
audio. Sounds good. Okay, yeah. Parametric.
It's just another form of equalization. It's a parametric EQ. It's very fun to use. You can go in and you can pull those 1 through 10 down, and you can do them in different ways. The best way is to take a look at the preset. It'll change the shape of those.
Right.
You can actually even have up to a 30 band. And each of those individual bands, you can change the gain, where they're centered, and the width of them.
Interesting. This whole thing's probably a whole nother course.
Just doing that parametric EQ, you could spend all day on it. Absolutely.
All right. That's interesting. All right, let's move on to...
Sure. Cue points. Cue points are basically, let's say we were doing a production and we needed to have multiple points where we needed to go back and forth along a line. By doing a cue point, we can have it remember where a certain phrase is. For instance, let's say you had an hour-long conversation that you had recorded with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you had parts that you wanted to separate later into different chapters.
Okay.
Like you had talked about adding in a piece or something. Let's say an author makes a reference to an example. Or if we were taking this conversation,
mm-hmm.
and you wanted to later go back and cut in real-life examples of what these things sound like,
yeah.
then you would place a cue point or a marker, or sometimes called a flag,
mm-hmm.
at certain points in the conversation, and then you could label that flag anything you like.
Okay, and I did that just for fun. Where am I going to see it on my...
It should show up. This is something that I use extensively in Sonic Foundry stuff. I don't use it here, but let me just catch up with you here. So test.
Maybe I do see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's in the form of a little line.
There it is. It's a little blue flag, and as you're moving your that line with the two arrows along, when it gets to that point, the flag will be added to it.
Will it be added in the green portion?
Your cursor will actually turn to a flag. You can see the flag down the bottom there.
Okay.
It'll be just above the time marks.
Okay.
you might not be able to see it if it's all the way over at zero.
Right, right. Okay.
And those are little flags just set there, and you can move between flags and make a list. This is basically what's referred to sometimes as an edit list.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of editors, the reason why it has something like this is when in major editing tools, like when someone's editing a TV show or an audio program, a lot of times because of the cost of what used to be called online editing, you would do your edits offline in a suite where basically you'd make a list of all the edits that needed to happen.
Right.
And then you'd give that list electronically to the editor, and then while the clock was ticking, the machine would actually go and do the edits online. That's no longer necessary because everybody has the same capability to do those type of edits in their own home PC now.
Okay.
But it's left, the idea of flags and markers and regions is left over from those days.
Okay.
It can be helpful if you're doing a big project, or the biggest thing that I like to use it for is if multiple people are editing the same project, I can go in and put notes as to where a certain section is and then reference them with people.
Okay, great.
So that's just a helpful thing.
All right, and the last one here.
Last thing's a calculator, but it's a special calculator because it allows you to look at things and express them in different names. Like, for instance, let's say you wanted to have a certain note generated, or you wanted to have a certain, I'm trying to think of the best terminology here. Let's say you wanted to change the value of something, like make it a up by a certain amount of harmonics or by a certain note. You could make an expression here.
Okay.
The biggest thing that people use it for is that you can generate dial tones with this. If you need something to actually make it sound like it's dialing a phone number, one of the things you can do is go into group name and then go under dial tones, and whatever numbers you type in there, it'll then insert it into your WAV file, and it'll be like it's playing those touch tones.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
So, I mean, that's more of a novelty than anything else.
All right, no, this has been a great lesson, especially when I listen back to all this stuff. Let me is, what do you think the biggest mistake people make when it comes to audio on their web pages?
Probably when they're placing audio on a web page, the biggest mistake that can be made is not offering a variety of quality, depending on not being sensitive to different connection speeds.
Okay.
And that is a two-way street. For instance, if I have a dial-up connection and someone only offers things in broadband, it's going to be very discouraging because I will probably leave the site before the download completes.
Right.
I already know I'm being chastised for having a slow connection, but maybe that's beyond my control.
Right.
And it's very frustrating when that's not catered to.
Okay.
The other end of that is now not being sensitive to the fact that people have broadband connections and only offering things in low quality. An example that I'll give you is that 95% of the Flash presentations that are rendered out today, a lot of the designers have absolutely no regard for the audio portion of it. So they will choose what Flash does, and that's it puts all of the resources towards the visual and gives you the lowest, crummiest sounding audio quality. Whereas a better balance would give you a much better rounded presentation.
Okay.
You know, everybody has gone to a website where you have this drum beat loop over and over again on a splash page, and it's just sampled at such low quality that it's it's almost distracting from it.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer that the audio should complement it, and we have those tools within our grasp these days.
We can
basically measure someone's bandwidth to know how they're connecting and decide which files to do them. We can take the extra time to render out two different versions so they have the option to choose a high or low bandwidth path.
All right.
Basically, that's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, is making sure that there's a clear explanation as to how to get the audio to play in the first place.
Okay.
A lot of us are so good at what we do because we know all the different players. We have QuickTime and Windows Media and Winamp, and we've got our machine rigged so that by clicking on something, it automatically uses the appropriate application.
Mm-hmm.
But something very eye-opening is to go to someone that's not so savvy as yourself with the multimedia on a web page,
right,
and ask them to go to your page and watch over their shoulder without your assistance and ask them to try to play back that clip. You'd be amazed at what obstacles come up that you just assume they know how to get rid of. Like, for instance, Real Player wants to take control of everything when it's installed, and this Real Player pops up, and the free one will basically try to sell them the paid one. And
that's true.
And it takes them on 20 different directions. That person might never get to your audio because
that's true.
It's set up. And
that's what I have also on my site is
yeah.
Those free downloads. I may want to get rid of those because I now actually have. You saw I have the little Real Player thing where they
exactly,
can
exactly the embedded one.
So I should probably get rid of those links for the free one.
Well, the nice thing about the using an embedded player on the site is that most of them will go and get the plug-in without a lot of that salesmanship.
Right.
And that's the one advantage to doing, well, there's several advantages to doing embedded, but the biggest advantage to doing embedded is the fact that you can control how much gets put in there.
Okay.
If you have a link that just blindly lets any application take control of it,
mm-hmm.
whoever was the last one to take control of the person's machine is going to play it.
So would you advise, you saw my website, they can play it, download it in MP3,
right,
or they can listen to it on the Reel. Don't you think that's going to cover most of the people?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I should probably get rid of those links because it may be losing people.
Right. And at this point, you can guarantee that if someone has already started to try to download something,
yeah,
it will be a much easier experience for them than if they actually go out and get the player and then have to come back. Because all of them, what I mean by that is if they attempt to play it and they don't have it, it's going to be an easier process for Windows to now say, you don't have this, here's where to go to get it, and it will take control of it a lot better than them actually leaving your site, going to get it, and then us taking the chance that they come back.
Good advice.
Even if you pop a new window, they might get buried in all the salesmanship going on from Reel. I would just, at this point, leave it so that it has to...
I'm just deleting it, because most computers have a Reel Player or a Winamp to play these files.
Correct.
One or the other.
Correct.
And then I offer a choice. If they don't want to mess with it, they can order a CD-ROM with everything on it.
Even better. Yep.
Okay.
I think you've got the basis covered there.
Okay, that's good advice there. Well, I'm open to any ideas for my webpage. I mean, as you see, this is the beginning of a project that's going to get bigger and bigger. You know, I've got about 55
yeah.
clips on there, but I want to definitely, as I continue to do this, have either the best quality sound, making it accessible to the most amount of people in the best variety of ways, and that's why I'm talking to you, so maybe I can get started. As I do this over the years, we're starting out on the right foot, looking down the road in the future.
Exactly. For instance, any new conversations you require, maybe we have another set of procedure that you go through so we don't have to worry about clipping in the future.
Exactly.
Or, you know, there just may be something subtly different that you can do that will help tremendously in making it easier to edit.
So what do you recommend when I save this file off of my modem spy? How should I save it before I go in and edit it in GoldWave?
I would recommend that you take advantage of the setting because you're not having to send it around anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I would save it in the best quality MP3 that you can.
Okay.
And
so I would go into my save as.
Yep.
And well, actually, I can't do it right now because I'm recording.
Still going, but yes, you would just save as, and then chances are it offers everything from 8K up until probably 64 or 128.
Well,
and I would do the best one that you can.
But do you think my computer can handle that one? I mean, we're at
128 is probably fine.
128?
Yes.
We're at an hour and 27 minutes. Is that going to be just a tremendous file?
Yes, but if you're not moving it, if you're not moving it around, if you don't need to transfer it anywhere, it should be able to handle it.
Okay. And then, so as I, that's how I should bring it into GoldWave?
Yeah, actually, you know, based on the fact that we're just doing a conversation on the phone, 64 even would be better, and you're going to get literally half the file size.
Okay.
So yeah, I would go for 64.
Now, at what I've been doing, after I do my editing in GoldWave, I save it as a WAV file, and then I bring it through this software called LAME, which is a
yes, encoder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that transfers it and cuts it down and turns it into an MP3.
If it's already an MP3,
mm-hmm. Actually, for some reason, my modem spy is only saving it as a WAV.
Oh, okay. So then you take the WAV, edit the WAV.
I could save it as an MP3 off of GoldWave.
Exactly. So all you need to do is bring the WAV into GoldWave, and then when you're done editing, you can make all the MP3s you want.
That's true. Do I need this Razer LAME to cut down the size of the file?
No, because GoldWave will already do that when you save it in the appropriate MP3 format.
I got you.
What I would recommend
mm-hmm.
is just because one of the downfalls of GoldWave versus other editing programs
mm-hmm.
is not have unlimited undos. And what I mean by that is if you make a series of changes, you can only change the last one.
Right.
So if you do something in a destructive fashion to the file
mm-hmm.
that somehow you save by mistake, what I would recommend is always make a copy of
the Yeah, I usually do. I'll back it up somewhere.
Yeah, just because, you know, like with Vegas Video, I have unlimited undos. So
mm-hmm.
even if I do something and then like 10 edits later I decided I want to change my mind,
mm-hmm.
I can look at the history.
So
in order to keep GoldWave lean and inexpensive, that's obviously one of the features.
All right. Now, what's your advice? Let's say we've got an hour and a half conversation. I want to get this up on the site. How should I save it on GoldWave? As an MP3, as a...
MP3 is a 64 or 32 if you're putting it online.
That's for a downloadable one?
Yes.
And then what if I want to... if I want to turn that file into an RM file for real audio, should I still save it at that 62?
Yes. You always want to put the best, put the highest one you make, whether you make a 64 or a 32, whatever one you make is the highest one, put that into the RM. Let RM work with the best quality file it can.
Uh-huh.
And then I would output that probably in, I think they have an 8 or a 16 stream.
Mm-hmm.
That should be fine for that.
So even though that's a pretty huge file compared to what I've been doing, if they're playing it on my site with that little Real Player, it's not going to matter.
Right, because the Real Player is going to export it in 8 or 16.
Okay.
But this way we're giving the best thing possible to Real
uh-huh.
to work with.
Okay.
And then if you want to then go back and then once you've exported in Real, then you can make the 64 or the 32 file, then you can pass that through LAME, and if you want to make that from a 64 down to an 8 or a 16 MP3, then you could put that up.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of it's going to be based on your ear, and now you're being cognizant of the fact that you now know what you're listening for in terms of some of these artifacts.
So tell me, what's important about, like, you know, compared to what I've been doing, saving it as an 8 or a 16, now, and then having my audio clips as a 64, what we're talking about, how does that affect the end listener?
Well, basically, it's going to provide them with a better RM, real media file,
mm-hmm.
because real media is going to be able to start with a better quality file.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be less artifacts that will be introduced in the first stage. So when real media introduces its own set of artifacts, it won't get worse.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as playing it online, we do still want to bring it down as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would recommend.
Okay, but a 64, is that four times as larger as an 8? Or?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about really taking up a lot more space as this thing builds up.
Right, so you would definitely want to be, put up the smallest one you can without it growing so large that, it's unusable.
Right. All right, very good.
So I hope that's helpful.
Oh, this has been great. And what I'm going to do, I'm pretty burned out right now, I'll go through this file and edit it and save it as we've talked about. And I'm going to, You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to put this up on my site, because this is a great lesson for anyone. And then I'll have a way for people to get in touch with me if they want to use you to do any kind
of
sound editing.
That would be fantastic.
Okay. All right, let's talk soon. I will give you a ring, and I'll FTP you that file again, and let's see if we can do anything with it.
Wait,
let me ask you a question. When I'm recording this, I'm on a cordless headset, okay?
Yep.
A Plantronics headset. Would you recommend I plug in like a phone, a wire phone, for a better quality?
When you're actually doing the recording?
Yeah, like I'm doing the recording, but I'm on a cordless.
No, your portion of it sounds fine at my end.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds good on my end, too. Okay.
Yeah, no, I think that would be undetectable by the time it gets.
Do the volume controls on my headset of my cordless have anything to do with anything?
Only the ones that would affect your transmission volume. If there's anything that affects how you're hearing it, they should not have any effect on my end or on the recording end.
Okay, great.
The only thing would, of course, be is if it was turned up so much that it started to feedback or leak back into it.
Okay.
And you just need to be cognizant of that.
Yeah, see, I'm wondering what that recording that I sent you, what happened to that? Why did that happen?
For some reason, it sounds like my feeling is that, unfortunately, it was captured too loud. And I'm hoping that that's been happening, that the problem, the loudness has been happening in the translation that's going on by...
Well, we'll see by the time I get you that file.
By seeing the actual raw file, we will get a better idea.
Okay, great. Well, I hope this didn't happen to this recording. All right, I will talk to you later. Thank you very, very much for your time, and
we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, buddy.
Did you know I do audio interviews? I bet you could tell by now that I do audio interviews with experts on marketing, advertising, direct mail, list management, you name it. My interviews can build the value of your information products. My interviews can enhance the sales of a website. My interviews can make you famous. If you want someone who has an intimate knowledge of the direct mail business and understands the questions to ask, understands how to dig out the scoop, understands how to produce, develop, and create a compelling audio product, you want to talk to me. I promise you, if you've got a product you're selling and you want to bring life and build value into it, please contact me.